What do you think is like the next big thing? It could be anything.
So I think the next big thing on quality assurance will be focus on chaos engineering, more sophisticated observability, edge computing testing methodologies should be very precise and very understandable from a beginner in a QA field.
Have you ever encountered like any incompatibilities or anything you have to be careful about when you use local stack?
If you have all the configuration pack already set up, you can go from there, and if you have to do it yourself, it's a little bit challenging.
When there's a new project and you come in and you look at quality assurance, what would be like a perfect testing pipeline for like a QA pipeline from your perspective? What is necessary to do that?
It's mandatory that we have the unit tests. I mean, I encountered many other projects that don't have the unit tests, and we have to do the automation, and it's not that easy to do it internally.
You're listening to SimplyBlocks Cloud Commute Podcast, your weekly 20-minute podcast about cloud technologies, Kubernetes, security, sustainability, and more. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to this week's episode of SimplyBlocks Cloud Commute Podcast. You know the spiel. This week, I have another incredible guest. Again, a slightly different topic from what we've done the last times. I'm trying to diversify here a little bit. So, Miriam, maybe just introduce yourself real quick.
Thank you, Chris, for the invitation. Well, Miriam, I live in Morocco. I am a QA engineer with years of experience specializing in testing strategies. Well, my background spans multiple industries from electronics to IT, then to fintech, and then the health field.
All right. That was a quick one. Much quicker than I expected.
I can elaborate.
Oh, yeah. Feel free.
Well, I have another background of developing, of course. So I was developing testing frameworks to ensure high quality and reliable software delivery. So I worked with diverse technologies, of course. And before jumping into QA, I was a front-end developer. So it helped me a lot to shape my career into the QA testing field.
Right. So it's funny because normally you have to stop people.
Yes.
So you worked as a front end developer, for mobile front ends, web front ends, any front end.
I work for mobile mainly in Java, using Java for Android Studio because it was the only available back then. I'm talking 10 years back. And after that, I had worked for other entities for web development, for front end development also. So yeah, I didn't like both of them as much. So.
I can very much see that. A back end guy as long as I can remember. I've done some web front or some web development. I've done some mobile development. It was all like no. So I always fell back to let's go back to back end. At the moment you're at not sure if I pronounced that correct because I think it's a French company, Adversio. Mm-hmm.
It's at Servio.
Oh yeah. Okay. My bad. Wrong note.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's not your company, so it's all fine.
I've met people pronouncing the name of the company wrongly, so it's okay. I hear that a lot.
Okay, fair enough.
It's fine.
Maybe just quickly tell us a little bit about the company.
Yeah, so Asservio Group is based now in France, so it's specialized in cutting-edge technology consulting, so helping other organizations maybe optimize their software development and also the testing strategy. They are also particularly working for other projects in cloud and distributing computing systems. So they provide comprehensive services ranging from test automation to cloud migration and advanced quality assurance methodologies. So we're fundamentally improving how organizations think about implementing quality through the software development lifecycle?
Right. Okay. So that also means, I guess, you're going to customers and trying to help them understand, like, how should, well, I think quality assurance can mean a lot of things. It probably is simple testing, like how you should approach unit testing. But it's probably also integration testing, resilience testing, regression testing, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yes. Yes. And also we have to explain all the test strategy that we're gonna work with for each project and with each company, with each client. So other than that, we do also development and software maintenance. It's all in all consulting, so we're going from development to cloud to all the things in between.
Right. Okay. So that's a perfect bridge, because that's exactly the reason why I invited you, because I know that you're all about quality assurance and testing, and you're probably having a lot of, from my perspective, a lot of good hints or ideas or experience on how to approach that. So when we look into that, and imagine that I would want to build an application, let's say, that is supposed to run on Amazon or an AWS and using some of the AWS services. Or let's start simpler. We just want to run it on AWS for now. What would be like the common approach to make sure that I actually test stuff correct?
Yeah. So the application, any application that will be running on AWS instance should use a built-in or a pre-built testing tools. For example, and for instance, for AWS example, we can use LucasStack, or we can use Terraform, based on the infrastructure we have, and also the development lifecycle we have also for this solution. So, for example, if we use LucasStack, it has many core concepts that we can be based on for the testing. For example, we have the LucasStack that supports a wide range of AWS services, including the EC2, Lambda, messaging, the API gateways, the CloudWatch. And also, I mean, many more. DynamoDB, the storage, S3. It's a local cloud service simulation, and we can develop and test inside the LucasStack. It simulates locally. It's also free for people who might ask if it's it comes with a price. It includes units and integration testing. So if you want to test in the cloud and collaborate, for example, with other teams and make it perfect, we can use Terraform for this example, because Terraform is AAC, infrastructure as a code. And it doesn't support units and integration tests within the Terraform. You have to use other testing tools that are provided by Terraform to do this. For example, if either you're tested in AWS or GCP or any other cloud provider, you can use these tools. We have TerraTests. We have another one. I mean, I only use TerraTest for now, but I believe there are others that are very specific for every use case.
Interesting. So, yeah. I know about LocalStack, and you kind of answered a question that I wanted to ask slightly later, but we can come back to that. No worries.
Okay.
I've never heard about TerraTest. Is that a testing or an integration testing framework on top of Terraform?
Yeah. So I think I can't send you some documentation I was based on to use Terra test.
Yeah, let's drop that. You can send it afterwards. I'll drop it into the show notes. Interesting. I used local stack. That's why I know it. So for the audience that is not 100% sure, you kind of already explained a little bit. It's basically a re-implementation of the, or not sure how many of the AWS APIs, but quite a lot of them, the AWS services basically. And it gives you stuff like a local version of an S3 API. It gives you Aurora compatible APIs and stuff like that. So you basically spin it up and you can connect to it and use it as it would be like the official AWS version. One of the questions I had, because I only did like very basic, very minor stuff. I used it, when I was still at Timescale, I actually used it to build something that looked like the AWS event services. But that was not something complicated. Have you ever encountered like any incompatibilities or anything you have to be careful about when you use local stack? Because I think there's probably a lot of things which are like minor detail still, because it's really hard to implement.
Yeah, well, the issue I had encountered while using the local stack for the first time was the configuration, because it's a little bit similar to where you configure a Docker image, but I lacked some details and I had to call someone else to do it for me. But now it's all fine. I mean, if you have all the configuration pack already set up, you can go from there. And if you have to do it yourself, it's a little bit challenging, because it was first time and I didn't read the whole documentation yet to go through the whole process like smoothly. But yeah, it was the very first steps, which is the configuration, and also the integration. So back then we were using CI/CD for GitHub. I didn't know that it was easy to implement local stack with the GitHub Actions. I was working on each one separately. It is a little bit hard working for me. So yeah, I didn't know that. So these are the challenges. I mean, it could be the documentation for it. When I was using the tool, it was not that big and that rich. It's very limited when it comes to local stack community. But now, it's not the case anymore. I mean, there are other tools we can use that can do the job as local stack. But there is some concurrence in the market. So it's not the case like back then when I used it.
Right. What would be alternatives to local stack? Because I'm not aware of any. It's literally the only thing I could find.
Well, if you want to test in the cloud, you can go fully Terraform. It's not an ad or anything, but they have tools for every cloud provider. Yeah, like you,
right.
You can
okay.
Use
so
it
you,
with,
in this case, I would test against the actual services, right? Yeah, okay. Yes. I try to avoid that for cost reasons. local stack, would you run this on test containers, or would you literally, as you said, just like use GitHub Actions, start it up, run a separate thing and shut it down again?
Yeah, you can use it locally. Local stack, that's where the name came from. So you can use it locally, and you can install it in other instances in the cloud, but that's where the challenge comes. So it's limited to the environment of development and Yeah, the configuration.
No, what I mean is I used it as a module in test containers, which made it very, very easy to set up. It actually took, I guess, most of the probably complicated configuration you mentioned away from me. And you basically, in test containers, you say, hey, I want a local stack instance, enable the S3 API or whatever, and it will do all the magic for you. I had Oleg a few episodes ago here, and we talked about that. And local stack was one of the, like, from my perspective, one of the most important things, especially when you work against cloud providers, or at least AWS. Not sure if there's something similar for other cloud
I
providers.
mean, it depends on the use cases for everyone. I mean, for me now, if I was asked which one I would prefer, I would say 100% Terraform or build my own testing script that I will use later for the pipeline, etc. But yeah, I mean, I know there is an alternative for LocalStack, and now I'm not on AWS projects for the moment, but later if I encounter another project on AWS, I will most probably use it because I know it's the most effective for
Yeah, I think it's probably like a two-stage integration test, right? You would run most tests against local stack, and then you do a final, I forgot the term right now. There's this like specific what is it? The smoke testing. You run smoke test against the actual API, just to make sure that stuff actually works. When there's a new project and you come in, and you look at quality assurance, what would be like a perfect testing pipeline or like a QA pipeline from your perspective? What is necessary to do that?
It will be interesting to know that the company already had a QA department or QA team, because you'll not be working alone and doing all the stuff from 1 to 100% alone. So yeah, it's interesting to know that you have some tasks to do. For example, when we have a new project that we should work on and do the quality assurance from the beginning, it's mandatory that we have the unit tests. I mean, I encountered many other projects that, when we don't have the unit tests and we have to do the automation, and it's not that easy to do it internally, if we don't have the unit tests. So we do the we have the benchmark of the project globally. We do the test strategy that we're gonna follow for the project life cycle. And from this test strategy, we detect which parts are mandatory, and we of course we work on sprints. So it's basically it's sprint style. So we work basically on the tests we're gonna cover and the kind of tests we're gonna cover during this life cycle. Like, we can't have all tests done. We can't do a black box and white box testing, for example, and smoke tests and integration and every kind of test in a whole project. Like, we define the main focus and the main output we want, and then we define which tests we're gonna focus on. For example, unit tests are mandatory, and we have the end-to-end testing.
Have you could fit do you still see a lot of like projects where there is no unit test? Please say no.
Yes,
Please.
yes, 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 yes.
We literally just we literally just had this conversation 2 days ago with I don't remember. I think Sebastian from now Port. And he was like, oh, that is not a thing anymore. I'm like, I'm not sure about that. Oh God. Okay. Sorry. Sorry. Keep going.
So yeah, I was saying we have we know that we have unit tests at first, and at the end we're gonna have the end-to-end testing, and what's all in between depends on the project's output and the perspective of the client or the end user. So we can have either integration, functional tests, and automation at some point. And if it's necessary, we have other kind of tests to do within the other sprint, like regression testing and non-regression testing. So yeah, so it depends on any on each project, but all the projects agree on one thing from my point of view, that we have the unit test and we have the end-to-end testing.
Right. So one thing I wonder about, I mean, we often say that stuff like, or like abstraction layers like Kubernetes bring make it easier for a developer to actually develop software because you're closer to what the deployment infrastructure will look like. Is that the same for quality assurance and testing, or does that like all the layers that Kubernetes brings to the table actually makes it more complicated because you have way more stuff to test?
Well, it's not the case. I'll still say that the testing is, I mean, the quality assurance is a little bit more challenging. If we want to compare it with what we have in Kubernetes, it's not that easy, to be honest. I worked on a GCP project last year. And it was using all the GCP instances, I mean, from BigQuery to Airflow to Kubernetes to using the console, I remember, and manipulating all these instances all at once to sort out some automation testing from it. Because you have in one script you have the SQL commands, you have the console commands, and you have a lot of other stuff. I don't remember. I don't want to remember, to be honest. But I if I have to work in GCP or in a GCP project in the future, I will focus on one thing or one thing at a time, not all in one. I mean, from an apprentice like me, I mean, I didn't have much knowledge in working with GCP. Like, it was the biggest project I worked on. I worked on many other, but not as big as this one. It's like we're saying the Netflix of the projects. You have a lot of instances all open at one. Once, but and you have to do the job alone because I was the only QA affected to this project.
You said scripts a few times.
Yes.
What language do you build them in? Is it
Shell
like actual
scripting.
Bash?
Yes, Bash scripting, Shell scripting, and Python, the main ones I used. I still use them, by the way. I love Python. And it's my go-to programming language for everything. And for scripting I use Python mainly. For the Bash it's shell scripts. For the CI/CD pipelines because it's easier to implement, and every environment supports the shell script. Like
Yeah, okay, that's very
where
fair.
in Whether you're in GitLab with Bigbucket or GitHub Actions, they all support the shell.
Right. I think Python is probably also very, very well situated for that. Before we come to the last question, because we almost hit the 25 minutes, there is this like big boom of AI. Yay. AI. AI assistants, whatever. And a lot of people claim that it will make, well, our job go away, which I don't think. But there's also a big bunch of people that say that it will at least make the job easier. How do you see that for testing, especially with unit tests? I think that you might be able to generate quite a bit of unit tests, but then the complicated edge cases might be a problem.
Well, a little bit of disclaimers here. If you want to use AI to generate unit tests, you have to use AI to develop from the beginning, because I mean, AI is interesting. They are transformative, but not as a replacement. I mean, they can assist, of course, they help identify potential edge cases or unit tests you should write, or improve the test coverage. Enable more sophisticated anomaly detection. But for me, it's not. They would not replace humans, because we made them, as I believe. So it's for the testing field. I believe that humans they will still be needed, of course, because humans define the strategic this design. They understand complex business logic, of course. They interpret very nuanced test results. So yeah, I mean, for me, it can be, as I said in the beginning, it's transformative, but not
You said Germans were humans gonna define the strategy. Don't let a German define your strategy. Bad idea. Humans define the strategy. We mean, yeah, like, is there more strategy than I want an error-free, resilient application?
Well, let's stay dreaming.
I know. All right. We're running slightly towards the end. So what do you think is like the next big thing? It could be anything related to your job or in general. A lot of people would actually bring up AI as you said, a very transformative thing. So that's fair as well. Whatever you like.
Okay, so I think the next big thing on quality assurance will be an increased focus on chaos engineering, more sophisticated observability. I mean, I love chaos engineering. It's not something I would not want to do next thing. So the next big thing, I guess, also would be edge computing testing methodologies, which would be very, very, very precise and very understandable from each beginner in the QA field. I would say also the test strategy from a quantum computing point of view.
Oh, you're aiming high here.
Oh, yeah, wow. Well, we dream big. I don't know.
That's interesting. I've never thought about that. To be honest, I can't wrap my head around exactly how quantum computers work in general. So that I think trying to understand how you would actually test that,
yes,
is really interesting. I never thought about that.
It's very challenging from point of view of a tester first, and also from point of view of a developer or on anyone working on quantum computing or studying the field.
The other thing you mentioned is chaos engineering. I know that there's like two big players. Any specific tools you really like?
Gremlin.
Okay, that was the wrong one. The other one is ex-colleagues of mine. No, but I think Gremlin is fine.
Because it was the second one I used after I don't remember. It was the second one and I liked it. And whenever I'm faced to do chaos engineering for any use case, I opt for.
I think chaos engineering is actually a really good topic. I see something coming up in the future. I didn't think about that yet, but it is a really interesting topic, and I think a complicated one as well. All right. So last questions. Is there anything else you want the audience to know?
Yeah, if we're talking about quality assurance and what the audio should know, that QA department is it's a culture. So it's not something you have to be afraid of. It's a culture that embrace continuous learning, and of course, for the audience, I want you to stay curious, learn new stuff, and be ready to challenge the existing testing paradigm we have. So the future, we don't know where it's gonna be, where it's gonna lead us, but I'm confident that the future of software testing is collaborative, intelligent, and very
And do
proactive.
your homework, write unit tests. Do at least the bare minimum, please.
I mean, a friend told me many years ago that a developer that respects himself, he does write the unit tests.
That is a very nice way of ending the episode. I think there is nothing to add to that.
Well,
So
thank you, Chris, for
yeah, no,
the
thank you
invitation
for
and
being here. It was a really good chat. I think we come back to the chaos engineering part. Maybe I could see that maybe being like an interesting episode with like maybe two or three guests. So let's see, like the two fighting over best tool and you're sitting in the middle or something. All right. Yeah, thank you very much for being here. It was a great
You're
pleasure.
welcome anytime.
And for the audience, normally I would say see you next week, but this time we'll be at KubeCon, Salt Lake City. So I'm gonna skip 1 week, and I see you back. What is it, like my third week or fourth week of November, with another incredible guest. Thank you very much, and hope to see you again. The Cloud Commute Podcast is sponsored by SimplyBlock, your own elastic block storage engine for the cloud. Get higher IOPS and low predictable latency while bringing down your total cost of ownership. www.simplyblock.io